This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic. You've heard the best of us. Now hear the rest of us. We're taking a break, and this is going to be a special podcast being recorded on Wednesday. It is October the 25th, 2006.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
3 women die together in an accident and they go to heaven. When they get there, St. Peter says, "We only have one rule here in heaven, don't step on the ducks." They enter heaven and sure enough, there are ducks everywhere. It's almost impossible not to step in a duck, and although they try their best to avoid them, the first woman accidentally steps on one. Along comes St. Peter with the ugliest man she's ever seen. St. Peter chains them together and says, "Your punishment for stepping on a duck is to spend eternity chained to this ugly man." The next day, the second woman steps on a duck accidentally, and once again along comes St. Peter, who doesn't miss a thing, and with him is another extremely ugly man. He chains them together with the same admonishment as the first woman. The third woman has observed all this, and not wanting to be chained for all eternity to an ugly man, is very, very careful about where she steps. She manages to go months without stepping on any ducks, but one day St. Peter comes up to her with the most handsome man she's ever seen in her life. He's tall, tanned, slim, muscular. St. Peter chains them together without saying a word. The woman, thinking this is great, remarks, "I wonder what I did to deserve to be chained to you for all of eternity." The guy says, "I don't know about you, but I stepped in a duck."
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easta, my friends, Son of Easta, and welcome. You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, and this is our very special You've Heard the Best of Us, Now Hear the Rest of Us episode. It's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 25th of October, 2006. And my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And I'm thrilled and delighted to invite each and every one of you to stick around for, well, it's a special kind of show. I'm here alone in the Schnauzer Studios today. And here's what's going on. Last week's show was pretty intense. We're all still friends. Everyone's getting along just fine. Parviz and I made out. Let me tell you, an Iranian tongue, nothing like it. But Parviz is coming down with a cold, and today was supposed to have been the fourth game of the World Series. Meanwhile, I've been working pretty much 24/7 and have some kind of inner ear infection thing. And I haven't been able to hear from Sean, and I know Jason's busy, and so what we decided to do is we would take a little break after last week, and a little hiatus after show number 32, and before we hop back in on show number 33. And by the way, next week's show is going to be outstanding. We have a very special guest. Those of you who listen to the show regularly know that a few weeks ago, we were talking about comedy and the recent spate of programs that ape Saturday Night Live, that deconstruct television. Jason mentioned that he has a friend who is a writer for the David Spade show on Comedy Central, the showbiz show, and who used to be a stand-up, maybe he still is a stand-up, and was an assistant to Tina Fey. And she's going to be a guest next week. Her name is Allison, and she's going to be our special guest next week. So we got that coming up next week, plus assorted stuff and nonsense. And so we were not going to do a show today. And it occurred to me that as we do the show week after week, Sean and I, and Parviz and I, and John DeCoven and I, Jason and I, we all know each other from KSCO. And we talk about it a fair amount. It was a place where we cut our eye teeth in the area of broadcasting. And I'm one of these folks that that saves everything I've ever done. It's sort of the virtual refrigerator that your mom used to tape your little photographs, not photographs, but, well, maybe your photographs, the artwork that you did in kindergarten, elementary school, and at some point it becomes too much. Well, I have a recording of every time I was ever behind a microphone. I started it back when I was in broadcasting school. In fact, there are actually recordings that go back earlier than that, some of which are on some cassettes floating around that I'll have to dig up someday. But my current professional broadcasting career, which started, about 9 years ago, I have tapes, CDs, or mini discs of pretty much every time a microphone was ever turned on and I was behind it. And I think the pinnacle of the broadcasting that I did prior to doing this particular podcast was the show that we did on KSCO, Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. It was called Airplay, and it was basically Schnauzer Logic, but kind of cleaned up to make it a daytime kind of show. There's a different energy when you're working in the daylight, when you've got a show that you're doing from 9 to 11 instead of a show that you're doing in the evenings or on the weekends or what have you. And so we put this show together Monday through Friday, and it was, for me at least, the culmination of a dream to be able to be behind a microphone of a commercial radio station with listeners and guests and spots and bits and everything, and to really see whether I could play ball in the major leagues. I frequently think of the movie Field of Dreams and the role played by Burt Lancaster, where he plays Doc, who wanted to be a major league player, but instead decided to become a baseball doctor. And his dream is a chance to actually play on the Field of Dreams again. And so, being a KSCO, I had an opportunity to do that. In any event, the point is, I've got hundreds and hundreds of hours of some really interesting stuff. A lot of it doesn't really stand up. We did the show on KSCO. We did the Airplay show, I realize now, 5 years ago. It was in the summer of 2001. It was before 9/11. It was before things changed, so to speak. It was before I had my string of medical emergencies. Since that time, I've had three major surgeries, hard to believe. And change gender at least once, maybe twice. I don't remember. It's hard to keep track, even for me. Anyhow, what I did was today I went and looked in the archives of a lot of the material that I had, and I found a bunch of material that I thought you guys would like to hear. So what we're going to do today is we're going to play some interviews back from the KSCO days. We've got an interview with Ben Stein. People will know Ben Stein from, of course, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Win Ben Stein's Money, small roles in lots and lots and lots of other films. He was a speechwriter for Richard Nixon. He was an economist. Studied at UC Santa Cruz, which is how we managed to get him on. Had his little game show, Win Ben Stein's Money, which we've parodied with Win John DeCoven's Money. Does the Visine commercials here in the United States. A very unique individual. Very conservative, I think. Very, very Republican in the traditional sense. Someone who I would not normally have on as a guest, but he seems like such a contradiction of terms because he's kind of the uber geek slash funny nerd, while at the same time being fairly conservative and Republican in his tastes and philosophy. And so we have Ben Stein on. We also did an interview with Dirk Benedict. Now, Dirk Benedict, people may remember from Battlestar Galactica. They may also remember him as Face on the old A-Team. And Dirk has battled some health issues along the way and ultimately wound up becoming a soccer dad. We had Dirk on the show back when we were doing the program back at KSCO. And I couldn't get him off. He was someone who came on, had such a great time that I think had we said it was Airplay with Robin Goldstein and Dirk Benedict, he would have been happy to be my co-host 5 days a week. So we've got that. We've got a very special Win John DeCoven's Money. At least I think we do. Yes, we do. I'm looking here at the list of things that I pulled off the computer where we play with John's mom. John was in the studio and we play with John's mom, so that's a lot of fun. And a cranky dog with Critical Chip of CrankyDog.com. Folks know that we've tried to get Chip back on the program here many, many times. Chip is a designer, an artist, an illustrator. He's also an actor, a writer. He's recently written a screenplay and he's been shopping that around and we haven't been able to get him on, but he used to do a thing called Cranky Dog spews, which were nothing like the rants that Dennis Miller used to do on his HBO program. And they were very popular, very entertaining. I think if Chip wanted to continue to do them, we probably could have syndicated them. I think they had a universal appeal. So what I've got for today's program is I've got the interview with Ben Stein, the interview with Dirk Benedict. I've got a special Cranky Dog that no one's heard for many years, and a special Win John DeCoven's Money with John DeCoven and his mom, plus some bizarre songs that we'll play along the way. So I think what we'll do here is we'll go right into the Ben Stein's Money. Now, Ben was hosting at that point Win Ben Stein's Money. As I mentioned, Jimmy Kimmel had left the program to do other things. I think he was doing The Man Show. People now know that he's the host of Jimmy Kimmel Live on ABC here in the United States, one of these late night programs. Nancy Pimento was Pimentel had become the co-host for Win Ben Stein at that point. I was a contestant on the program. I chewed a lot of scenery. I didn't win, but I had a lot of fun. And so when I knew that I was going to have my own radio program, I contacted Ben and I asked him if he'd be willing to be a guest on the show. He was very dodgy about the whole thing. I think he was someone who felt like he didn't want to be put in a box, wasn't too sure that he wanted to commit to it. So when he called me back, he said, you know, I'm not sure how much time I have and I don't feel well and I may be at this house or I may be at that house and I may only be able to stay on the phone with you for about 2 or 3 minutes if that's okay, but I'll wish you good luck. You seem like a nice kid when you did the show and I'll wish you good luck. And from my point of view, that would have been fine. I think the interview with Ben runs for about 22 minutes. We blew through all of the breaks. So I think you'll enjoy that. I say a lot. One of the things that you notice when you're by yourself and Parviz isn't here to step on you. Anyhow, so that's what we'll do. So we'll take a break. We'll play the interview with Ben Stein. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more. You are listening to Schnauzer Logic. This is a very special You've Heard the Best of Us, Now Hear the Rest of Us episode. The website is www.schnauzerlogic.com, for those of you who may have forgotten. It's robin@schnauzerlogic.com, and we're always looking for questions for Win Parviz's Money. It's area code 206-666-6540. So we'll take a break. Little Ben Stein back on the other side. I think you're going to enjoy this. Oh, by the way, all the audio from KSCO doesn't have the sound quality of the audio that you hear on Schnauzer Logic, primarily because it's a broadcast studio and there was a lot of RF hum interference, et cetera, et cetera. So it'll have a different sound to it, not quite what you guys are used to, but I think you'll enjoy it anyhow. So our apologies in advance for the slightly sub-quality audio, at least to my ears. But as you know, it's not really about the production values. It's about the content. All right. Stick around. Listen to Little Ben Stein. We'll be back when we talk to you on the other side. Have some fun.
It's Airplay with Robin Goldstein on KSCO AM 1080.
Welcome back. This is FM radio on the AM. No, it's not. But welcome back. It's 10:33 at AM 1080 KSCO in Santa Cruz. And my name is Robin Goldstein. You're listening to Airplay. It's Monday. We're getting on through the second hour here. We're waking up. It's the beginning of a terrific week. And I have been promoting this gentleman all morning long. I have not been able to sleep all night. I've been thrilled to know that he was willing to join us on the phone right now. And right now on the line is Ben Stein. Ben, thank you so much and welcome to KSCO.
Well, Santa Cruz is my favorite place, and I'm happy to be on the phone to Santa Cruz.
Terrific. And you mentioned to me when we were taping the program, I mentioned the audience, I taped an episode of Win Ben Stein's Money earlier this year, that right. you had taught at UC Santa Cruz. When was
that? Yes, a long time ago in 72, 73. Seems like just yesterday to me, but by the calendar, it's a long time ago. I taught at what was then College 5 and also at what is still Cowell College in UC Santa Cruz. I loved Santa Cruz, although it was a wacky place, but I loved it a lot.
What was it like?
I suppose it still is wacky.
What was it like when you lived here at that time?
Well, I'll give you a few examples. When I was what's called a resident preceptor, which means I lived in the dorm, and I was supposed to guard the morals of the kids, which I must say did a very poor job at. But every morning, Well, first of all, I'd barely be able to get to sleep at night because the damned stereos of the rude kids would be running with them playing their horrible music. And so I'd have to be running all around the dorm telling them all to shut it off and turn it off so that I and other people who wanted to sleep or study could do it. There was very little studying going on. Then the worst, but this that was bad, but then the worst thing was that every morning after breakfast, and they served a wonderful breakfast, but every morning after breakfast, kids would light up their joints. And the dorm, this was the B dorm of what is now, I think, called Porter College, would just be reeking with marijuana smoke. It'd just be like a fog bank had moved in, as it will in Santa Cruz, only the fog was made of reefer smoke. And it was just amazing. I mean, it was like the dorm was on fire, only it was marijuana smoke.
So, constant contact high.
My friend, it wasn't a contact high, it was a real high. Anyway, so that was one part. I think the most dramatic thing that was going on was that we had three mass murderers operating simultaneously. We had Edmund Emil Kemper, who was murdering girls he was picking up hitchhiking. And I guess sometimes they were young girls, and sometimes women, too. And then we had another guy who killed the Oda family because they were building a house in an environmentally sensitive area. So to solve that problem rather than resorting to litigation, he killed them.
Gotta love them liberals.
Yeah, exactly. And then we had another guy who was, I forget what his motivation was, who was shooting people. And so there were three, as I say, three mass murders going on, working simultaneously. And I remember very well on the CBS Evening News, I think it was, they had a little story about Santa Cruz, and they called it Murderville. It was pretty scary. And I remember when I had a dog, a Weimaraner named Mary, and when I used to walk her, I would take a gun with me. I was so scared.
Really?
Yes.
Win Ben Stein's firearms.
Yeah, I was scared.
So, we played a little bit of the Ferris Bueller stuff as well, and do you get people tired of asking you about that or the whole Bueller?
No, you can ask me. I mean, to ask whether I'm tired about that is like asking somebody whether he's tired of having inherited $10 million. It was an incredibly lucky, wonderful break.
Had you before that?
It changed my life, and I will always be extremely, extremely, extremely grateful that it happened.
I mean, I looked online, and you've got a substantial filmography at this point, a tremendous number of television appearances. Of course, you're doing two programs right now on Comedy Central, Win Ben Stein's
right.
Money and Turn Ben Stein On, which is an interview show.
Right.
Which do you like one of those better than the other?
I like the interview show is a lot easier, but it gets much lower ratings than the quiz show, so I suspect the quiz show will last longer.
You're very good at the quiz show, by the way.
Well, you're very kind to say so.
No, it's true. It was remarkable to me, and one of the things that I noticed is that you seem to have the rhythm down of Nancy asking the questions, knowing exactly when to buzz in. You've got that. It's intuitive at this point.
Well, I've been doing it a lot. We've done 550 games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm sharing a piece of ham with my dog as I speak to you. If she doesn't eat it quick enough, I take it away from her. I have got it sort of down intuitively. But by the way, I still lose a fair number. I mean, one doesn't wish to sound excessively modest, but I don't always win.
No, you lost on the 500th show, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I don't doubt it at all.
Yeah, I got a chance to see that. Yeah, it's a terrific show, and I get a lot of notoriety now just from being associated, having been a contestant on the program. So,
well, it's what we have a very high end audience. That is, our audience compared with the audience of Millionaire is virtually unnoticeable. It's so small compared with Millionaire. Our audience compared with Jeopardy is small, but our. But we have a very high-end audience, as we have an audience of people who are movers and shakers and by the way, BMW buyers and Mercedes buyers and so forth. And
all
Porsche
the right
buyers.
Demographics.
Yes,
yeah.
All the right
yeah.
demographics for cars. Unfortunately, not the right demographics for drug accessories, but the right demographics for cars. And so you'll run into people all over the country, especially on airplanes. We seem to reach a lot of airplane travelers.
Is that right?
Yeah, because the people who watch our show are people who are in business and executives and so forth. They're traveling all the time. Now, let me ask you a question. What's life like in Santa Cruz now during the technology shakeout?
Well, we were talking about that earlier in the program in the Silicon Valley. You know, one of the very first things that I noticed, because I spend my days at Apple Computer as an attorney, is that the traffic has begun to ease up, which I can only associate
on with... Route 17?
Route 17, it's eased up. Route 280, 101, 85, all the major highways. It's gotten easier to get around during rush hour, and I can only associate that with layoffs and people leaving the area.
Well... but what about real estate prices in Santa Cruz? Have they started to level off?
They've 550. What does that mean? I'm getting hand. They've leveled off. They've leveled off at about 550.
Well, that's 550, the average. Is the average house?
Yes, that's the average house.
Oh my God, that's so incredible! Wow, that's so amazing.
You probably
think that's astonishing. That's much higher than in L.A. Well, I will tell you, when I lived in Santa Cruz, housing was very, very cheap, and I always thought this place is an undiscovered paradise. Someday it will be discovered, and it'll be incredibly expensive. I didn't realize it would come, and I thought it would come as a result of it being a suburb or even part of San Jose, but I had no idea the boom in San Jose would get to be so gigantically, tremendously, fantastically big. But by the way, I've seen these booms come and go, and it always comes back. It always, always, always comes back. But it can take a very long time.
Well, certainly, I think we talked about the dot-com shakeout, and I think what will happen, at least from my perspective, is there'll be a shrinkage and a consolidation, and normal, real business practices will take hold, and then they'll begin to build on that again, the underlying technology that...
Well, the underlying technology is very much in need, and of course it's as they say, it's a standard inventory shakeout. But the overall need for the technology will just explode ever greater. I guess the problem is that people don't realize. We'll talk economics for a moment. Is that as these things get to be developed, the price comes down very, 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 very fast. So the you don't have a situation where the price just where you have companies making 20% profits for very long. The price comes down until it gets to be like selling wheat, as in the proverbial economics 101 class. I could give a lecture on it, but I don't think I will. I'll tell you more about Santa Cruz when I was there. I used to go to a place called the Catalyst. Do you still have the Catalyst?
Yes, we do.
What a crew there used to be at the Catalyst. I don't know if it's still there. I mean, the crew. I don't know if the crew is still there, but these scary bikers would come down from Boulder Creek. And let's see, where else did they come from? Oh, Ben Lohman.
Oh, yes.
And, oh, my God, they were a scary group. I used to like to go there and listen to the music, but the crowd got to be so terrifying that finally I stopped going.
Now,
but it had a fun variety of foods. And during the daytime, it was very cheerful, but at night, scary.
And they still have tremendous music in all of these places. Lots of great live music.
There used to be a place called the Opal Cliffs Inn. I don't think it's there anymore.
Don't know.
No, I don't think it is. The OC Inn, it was called. The OC Inn. And, gosh, that place had great music. One of my favorite things to do is to drive out there. It was near 41st Street.
Mm-hmm.
And just before the big mall was there.
Right.
And I would listen to the music and watch the fog come in. Oh, how I loved Santa Cruz. Oh, loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. And that was before the earthquake, and there were all these great old buildings on the Pacific Mall.
Yeah.
And I remember I would walk by these buildings, and out of every building would be coming the sounds of Bob Dylan. And Bob Dylan is my favorite, so boy, did I like that. Oh, those were palmy happy days. I was a happy, happy guy there. But then I left because the provost of my college at UC was this is just an opinion. He was a terrible racist, and he was really nasty about African Americans, and especially when he had a few drinks in him, and also about Jews, and I had quite a confrontation with him, and the faculty backed him up instead of me. So I said, well, I'm leaving, and I left. But, boy, it was a sad day when I left because I was very, very, very fond of Santa Cruz and still am.
Now, what's interesting to me is, because I obviously don't know you, didn't know you, still really don't know you, my perception of you is from the television programs and films and what have you, which is fairly straight-laced, fairly conservative. I know that your politics are more conservative bent than not, and yet you seem to be a hippie underneath that. Is that fair?
I am a hippie, but I'm a hippie who believes that people should be fairly treated, and I don't. When I can see a guy who says I'm a liberal, and he can walk around the campus at night shouting and calling African Americans those horrible names to me, sort of under his breath, while he's giving a big cheery smile. And I hate that. I hate hypocrisy, and I hate that kind of crap where a guy who's supposed to be a friend to man is really a big time racist. And by the way, the faculty you see. Totally covered up for this guy who had major problems with alcohol and with his attitude towards people who weren't white, and I couldn't stand that. But also, I didn't like the fact that the campus at UC was 99% Democrat, and they were not very tolerant of people who weren't Democrats like me, and. They didn't even want to hear what we had to say or why we were the way we were, and instead they just copped a big attitude about we're better than you. I didn't like that very much. I did love the walks. I don't know if you've ever walked the trails behind UC, but...
Yes.
Oh, they're beautiful. I ran behind Crown College. Oh, they're so pretty. I can't tell you how many times I've walked those walks and just thought... It is great to be an American. It's great to be in California. It's great to be in Santa Cruz. It's great to be alive. Many times.
That's terrific. Well, it's clearly true. I know that you're...
You have a great restaurant up there, too. I'll give it a plug.
More than one, actually. Which one do you think?
Yes, you have many, but you have one great... You have many ones. You're so right, but you have a great Chinese one called Omei, O-M-E-I.
Yes. We're getting thumbs up from the entire staff here.
It is really, really good. It's something that not everyone knows, but they used to have a little outpost up at one of the colleges. Now, which college was it? Kresge, I think. They used to have a little restaurant for students. Omei ran it up at Kresge College. And that's probably been gone a good 10 years, but that was very good. But the one is on, I forget whether it's on Bay or Mission. I think it's on... High Street. But I'm not.
Yes.
Is it on High Street?
Absolutely.
It's so good. It's just mouthwateringly, fabulously good. And I don't know that I'm aware of a better Chinese restaurant anywhere.
In all of L.A.?
Anywhere I've ever been in America or anywhere else.
Wow. Okay.
It's a very, very good restaurant. To those of your listeners who have not been there, I don't get a penny for saying this, but I think it's fabulous.
Quite frankly, neither do I. So let me just switch topic just for 30 seconds, because I know that you're busy, and I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Take your time.
I'm so appreciative. One of the things that I realized in just chatting with you on the break while we were taking the program and listening to and reading the work, you write for the American Spectator. I think I read an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal, was it, perhaps, recently, is that it seems to me that, although I don't necessarily always agree with your position, it's a reasoned, rational dialogue. And that you and I could have a discussion about that. Otherwise, it feels to me like that's lacking in most of the popular media, that there really isn't a dialogue or discussion. Do you find that? Has that changed?
Well, I find that it varies. I find that, by and large, the popular media or the mass media is so hysterically anti-Republican that there's not much that can be said to them about which you can have a good conversation. And I find, unfortunately, this is the truest at universities that it is anywhere. The university has become, and I'm not sure whether this is true of UC Santa Cruz because I haven't been there in a while, but the university has become a place where no toleration for dissenting views or opinions is permitted. And there's just a...
In the name of academic freedom.
Right, there's just a party line. That's right, there's a party line. And if you don't hew to that party line, nobody will be your friend and nobody will like you. And it's a crappy way of life. I mean, it's a really, really extremely bad way to live. And I think it's bad for people on the student level, it could hardly be more discouraging of the, any ideas of academic or original inquiry. And plus, it's just plain wrong. I mean, I have a niece who's a graduate student at Yale, and her husband was a graduate student at Yale. It's just like they were living in Stalin's Russia. I mean, they have to have a certain political viewpoint. If they don't have that political viewpoint, nobody will be their friend. That's a terrible way to live.
Do you think people are bright enough, well-educated enough to actually have that kind of political discussion these days?
Oh boy, you are really us.
Over.
Well, they're bright enough to. I mean, you know, they're bright enough to. They were born with enough of cells in their cerebrum, but they have been very poorly educated and don't have much of an idea of real history. It's interesting that you're saying this because I'm giving a speech this evening. Down in Redondo Beach, which is a community near the airport here, about gratitude. And what I'm saying is that if America's young people had a clear idea of what life had been like and the human condition for most of man's existence, and if they had a clear idea of what life was like in the rest of the world right now, there would be very little complaining about life in America. There would be complaining, to be sure, but it would be within the context of intense, overwhelming gratitude for just how great life is in America and how blessed we all are. And every time we would criticize about this or that, we would say, But this is all within the context of intense gratitude and happiness for the life that you have, that you, God, and the people of America have given us. I mean, we live like kings. I mean, the kings and princes of just 100 years ago do not live like the ordinary student in America today.
Yeah, I was actually thinking this morning as I was driving over the hill that I live in a country in a time in my life when I actually have the freedom to ponder these questions, to have these kind of discussions and ponder these questions. It's not about subsistence. It's not about survival. That's fairly a given at this point. And I can spend the time to think about these things. And
oh, my God, that's so unusual and rare. And yet, I mean, it is so rare to be free of disease for most people until late in life. To have the general problem of nutrition be overweight instead of underweight and starvation. To be free of marauding criminals. To be free of a government that can just pick you up and throw you in the army for 20 years or pick you up and do anything they want with you. To have the life that the ordinary American has is a blessing beyond words. Now, that being said, there are some real problems. And by the way, there's an issue which I think is being debated in Santa Cruz, among other places, called the living wage issue, which is whether there should be a minimum wage which is sufficient to make sure that people have a decent standard of living. And this would apply to low-wage people like people in hospitals or people who are janitors, and I totally come down on the side of the living wage. I think it's a criminal outrage that people who work in Walmarts or work at work in amusement parks or work go back to hospitals, but also work at, say, janitorial staff, probably anywhere, including UC Santa Cruz, have to scrimp and save and not be able to feed their children. This country can't afford to pay its lowest ranked workers a $10 living wage, and it's just it's a very sad thing that that people who are so poorly paid work so very, very hard, and that in fact in this country, often the ones who work the least hard are paid the most, and that's a kind of an unfortunate situation.
You think either of the political parties have the courage to actually address this head on?
I don't know, but I'd tell you, I've been asked repeatedly to run for governor of California.
That was my next question.
And if I did, that would be... Well, the Republicans probably wouldn't nominate me if I said I was for the living wage, but I am. I think it's disgraceful that a poor single mother who's working, making beds at a hotel, doesn't have enough income to feed her children. That's disgraceful.
I would love to talk to you for like another hour. You're fascinating and generous. We need to take a commercial break and finish it up. But can I just say thank you so very much?
Yes. So now you're going.
And now I need to go.
Well, goodbye and good luck, and perhaps you'll come back on a tournament of a future champion.
Thanks so much for all your kindness, Ben. It was terrific talking with you. Ladies
My
and gentlemen,
pleasure.
Ben Stein.
My pleasure. Have fun.
Bye-bye. We're at 10:55. We're a little long. Don Husing will forgive me. We'll take our break, and we'll be back for the end. You're listening to Airplay on KSCO Radio.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Ben Lomond, Holon, and Santa Rita.
that you do.
We feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Bristol!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. You're listening to a very special episode of Schnauzer Logic. This is the You've Heard the Best of Us, Now Hear the Rest of Us episode. My name is Robin Goldstein. Interesting interview with Ben Stein. Tried to get Ben Stein back on the show when we started this particular program, but he's not returning my emails any longer. Of course, he's not really, he's not on TV very much any longer either. He, I don't know. Maybe we'll try to get him again. Hell, we got Kipadada. There was a find. All right. So that's what's going on there. All right. Let's see. What are we going to play for you next? This will be kind of interesting. I think we'll do one of these. As I mentioned, we used to have a regular weekly segment. When we were doing the Airplay radio program, one of the things that I learned very quickly was doing a show 5 days a week for 2 hours a day where you actually had commercials and sponsors and a clock. You know, as much as Parviz made fun about not having a clock, he tried to run a program along a clock so that there are normal breaks so that people get a rhythm of the show, because when people are listening on regular radio, they're not with you the entire time. The way they tend to be or can be with a podcast, they're in and out of their car, they're back and forth in their office, whatever it is. So you tend to have segments that are shorter so that people don't feel like they're always coming in the middle of something. And one of the things that I learned very, very quickly was it's hard to fill up 2 hours of radio 5 days a week. That's 10 hours of original programming every single week. And it has to all be... I remember somebody... I went to a conference, a radio and records conference in Los Angeles, and listened to a talk radio programmer who had been in the business for many, many years. And one of the things he said was, it doesn't have to be funny. It just has to be compelling and not suck. And so I thought, all right, well, let's not put so much pressure on ourselves where we try to be funny for 2 hours a day, but let's at least try to be compelling and not suck. And so I wound up running through a series of segments, regular segments that we would do every day of the week. I think Tuesday was comedy, stand-up comedy Tuesday, and we would have stand-ups who were in town to work at the local clubs. They would come by the station and they would call in. Friday, of course, was a movie review day that we did every week with Chuck the Movie Guy, who would call in and we would talk to Chucks about movies. Monday, I don't remember what Monday was, but Thursday might have been Producer Surprise. And anyhow, one day a week we had a segment where we did Cranky Dog, where Critical Chip of Cranky Dog would come in and he would do a spew. And this is one of those interesting phenomena where you're not really sure how it's going to work. I think Chip came in the first couple of weeks. He kind of hung around with us. Chip used to be on the air with Sean. He was his buddy. Sean and Chip had done a program together. I think they'd actually done some film work together, but they did a radio program together called The Brave New World, The Coliseum of Cultural Evolution. That was the name of their program. And so Chip used to come and sit in. He's funny, funny guy, and hopefully we'll have him back on this program in an upcoming week. And along the way, Chip used to rant about things. He'd kind of get into this zone where he would kind of rant and spew about particular things. And so I think, I don't know, Sean or somebody said to him, you know, you've got these really wonderful things that you're doing, and I think you're writing them on a website as essays. Would you come in and read them to us? You don't have to be spontaneous. Just kind of prepare some material and read them. That would be a terrific thing to do. So he agreed to do that. He started to do these Cranky Dog spews on a regular basis. And one of the things that we noticed was people in the radio station would stop what they were doing and they would start listening. Not the first week, not the second week, but sort of the third week and the fourth week and the fifth week. And as time went on, people would cram into the studio like they would. You would see them. The KSCO is a very old station built back right after World War II, so it has a very interesting architecture and was built for concerts. So the main studio has got this very high ceiling and glass in the front and glass in the back, so there's a lot of glass around it, and it's designed as kind of a performance studio. And people would be along the outside of the glass looking into the studio and watching Critical Chip do his spews. So So I pulled a spew that I thought was a pretty good one. Most of the stuff that Chip used to talk about was fairly timeless, so to speak. And so I think what we'll do is we'll play a little spew here from Critical Chip, crankydog.com, and then we'll play some more tunage, and we'll come back on the other side. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host, buddy, and pal. And this is a very special You've Heard the Best of Us Now, Listen to the Rest of Us podcast. We're doing this on Wednesday. It's the 25th of October, 2006. We're going to be back next week live. Of course, I'm live, but everyone else will be here in the studio with me next week for a brand new episode. So stick around. Listen to Critical Chip. I think you'll get a kick out of it. And there you go. All right, back on the other side. Stick around.
But unfortunately, we won't have a chance to talk about that because we have to go to Critical Chip on the other side of the break. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO, Robin Goldstein. I control the audio. I control the video.
Do the new noise you just made.
I love myself. Stick around.
People are talking on local news talk radio for the Monterey Bay, KSCO.
It's Airplay with Robin Goldstein on KSCO AM 1080.
Yes, welcome back. 1021 AM, 1080 KSCO. It is Airplay. It is Robin Goldstein. It is Thursday, July the 12th. And being it Thursday, that means by proclamation of the mayor of the city of Santa Cruz, it is time once again to put our hands together and say, son of Easter to our good friend Critical Chip of CrankyDog.com. How are you, my friend?
Sex diet. Sex diet for me, that's like putting me on a chocolate diet in a room full of potatoes, man. It's just absolutely useless. Starve to death is what would happen.
The room is full of people here who have come to see you perform tonight. Is your new album out yet? No pressure.
No pressure at all. How the heck are you?
I'm terrific. Have you had a good week?
I had an incredible week.
Really?
Yeah, lost my cell phone. It was great.
That's a good thing.
It's at the bottom of the ocean somewhere out at the end of the jetty at the harbor. I have never been happier.
Well, they've had all the important people get in touch with you. Supposing there's some great opportunity that you need to be finding out about.
I'm recommending skywriting at this point.
All right. Well, what's on your mind this week?
Robin. You know, I've heard people say that everything you need to know you learn in kindergarten. Have you heard this?
I have.
It's a lie. Sure, you learn lessons like say please and thank you, share your toys, take a nap when you're tired, and stink bugs don't taste nearly as good as they smell. But if only life were that simple, Robin. If only these were the only lessons we really needed to know to get by in this big, bad, complicated world of modern living, Robin, what a simple thing life would be. Unfortunately, this is not the case. Now, I'm an old guy, you see. I'm going to be 41 in just a little over a month. I don't know if you knew this. This is 15,000 days, my friend. Now, with any luck, I get maybe 5 days a year for vacation on my couch. If I'm luckier, I catch a cold, I get the flu, I get dysentery, I score a few more days horizontal. That still leaves better than 14,000 days applying these little lessons that I learned in kindergarten, those few simple things that I really needed to know. 4 decades doing all the things I was told you had to do. Say please, say thank you, and avoid stink bugs. You know what? It turns out there's other crap I needed to know. There's other rules to this game nobody told me about. Those of you out there, you think you know when you grow up, you're going to know all the answers. It's like freaking hockey, man. They're making up rules as they go along. There's all kinds of stuff I don't know I never learned in kindergarten. How do you tell if somebody is laughing at you or laughing with you? Yeah, you can't ask them. They'll tell you they're laughing with you every time. You'll never know. You can tell them, hey, you can't be laughing with me. I'm not laughing. You know what they say? You're laughing on the inside. I'm not laughing on the inside, okay? On the inside, I'm a big black sticky pit of despair, okay? All the good stuff's on the outside. If I'm not laughing on the outside, I'm not laughing. I waited way too long to discover that drama is overrated, okay? It took me far too long to realize that being right is not as important as being patient and that you can't make a federal case out of everything. And yet I still don't really know when it's appropriate to settle, or the difference between settling and knowing your limitations, or how playing to your strengths is different from taking the easy way out. So now I have no clue when I'm maturely choosing my battles or just simply being a girly man. I don't even get which side of the sheet is supposed to go up. You'd think that would be simple. And nobody told me I was going to start channeling my father, except my father, of course. Now, half the crap he told me is still wrong, but I can't stop saying it. I don't believe half of what I tell my kids, but suddenly, you know, I go stiff, my jaw hangs open, my father's disembodied voice comes out. It says, "You've got to study your algebra. It's an important skill for your future." But inside, you know, I'm thinking, screw this. As soon as they invented the calculator, I quit counting on my toes. I've never had to figure out which train gets to Chicago first, because I've never gone to Chicago, because I was too busy punching a time clock and telling my kids they have to wear clean underwear. Now, I wish I had learned how to plan for the future without waiting for the future. You know what they don't tell you? They don't tell you that growing up sucks and that you could choose not to do it. Look around. Now, I see people all the time acting like children. I open my mouth, my father's disembodied voice comes out. It says, "Oh, grow up." But you know what? He's wrong. Some people say it's great to know what you want to be when you grow up. They're wrong too. If you don't know what you want to be when you grow up, then you're not disappointed when you end up being that guy that scrapes the crap off that thing in that place. You start out with no plan. Now you know what you're doing every day. That's better than a lateral move. But, you know, if you know what you want to be when you grow up, you really know in your soul when you're a little kid what you want to be when you grow up, then you know the disappointment of being that guy who scrapes the crap off that thing in that place. It's like always buying the same six numbers on the lottery ticket every week. You know, this is a stupid move, plain stupid. You pick a random quick pick, you skip a week, you got no idea if you would have won. No problem. You pick the same numbers every week and then you miss a week. Now you know about the loss. Now you know the pain of having the numbers and being too stupid and lazy to stop an extra 5 lousy minutes at the liquor store because you had to get home to see the latest episode of Jackass. You know that thing you wanted to do when you were a kid? You should have done it. You should be still doing it now. Go do it. It would have been very good to know how much you can tell your landlord is normal wear and tear. Nobody told me that having friends over to get stoned and draw sex murals on the wall with a magic marker is not normal wear and tear. I don't understand airports. I don't get which line you're supposed to get in. I always end up waiting for 20 minutes and finding out my boarding pass is over at the freaking gate. I would love to know the difference between having a dream and being a dreamer. Most people don't know how to have a conversation, Robin. You know this? Having a conversation requires two very simple steps. Listen carefully, respond appropriately. It's simple. You just trade off. When one guy is responding appropriately, you should be listening carefully. When you're through listening carefully, then you respond appropriately. What's the other guy doing? Listening carefully. But most people, what do? They wait impatiently. They spew cathartically. This is no way to have a conversation. This is one of the rules everybody needs to know. Listen carefully, respond appropriately. How hard is this? It's not complicated. It's not rocket surgery. Women freak me out. There is no manual for women, Robin. I don't know if women really mean it when they say that it happens to all guys once in a while. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue how to tell if a woman is interested in me. I don't know the difference between love and a crush, and I don't know the difference between making the first move and entertaining a sexual harassment suit. And I still haven't learned how not to fall in love with the wrong woman or how not to fall in love with the right woman at the wrong time. So here's the deal. Just saying please does not mean that you get what you want. It won't get your ass out of work early, it won't get you to the head of the line at Blockbuster, and it won't get you the girl of your dreams. Sharing your toys only means that after the play date, half your toys go home with your play buddy and you get to visit them on alternate weekends and half a Christmas vacation. And taking a nap when you're tired just means you wake up with post-it notes and paper clips stuck to the side of your face, your password to the internet's been changed, and you have an escort out to the parking lot with all your worldly possessions stuffed in a copy paper box. So the rules, always changing. Lessons, always too late. Love sucks. Nobody is right all the time. You will never satisfy everyone, and being finished is never going to happen. Life is a process, my friend, not an event. We are like sharks. If we stop moving, we die. Choose your battles, play to your strengths, cut your losses. That's it. That's all I got.
I want to tell you, this show is a runaway beer truck careening downhill, out of control. Cannot be stopped, will not be stopped.
This is the only segment where I say nothing and I'm out of breath at the end of it.
Did I overmodulate enough?
You are a joy. You are an absolute positive joy. Each week, I just thank you so very, very much.
Well, you know, it's so cathartic for me. This is all very autobiographical. So this is great for me. This is like therapy.
Yeah, well, I think it's like therapy for a lot of people. We had 8 or 9 people came in. I mean, they start walking in, and of course, the first thing I'm thinking is I did something wrong. And I realize, no, they're here to see you, my friend. They're here to see you.
What do you got planned? By proxy, they vent all their demons.
And it's good. It's all good. That's what I'm saying. It's all good. So what do you got coming up for the weekend?
Don't know. Not looking for the cell phone. This is what I do know.
All right. There you go. I'm going to be opening. I'm going to be the MC at the comedy, the Crow's Nest.
It goes without saying that I had
Crow's
that
Nest.
On my docket.
Crow's Nest comedy.
I'm there.
That's going to be fun.
Because this is the kind of, he could do these things. He could get up and do spews, right? I mean, I'm thinking. You should be doing these things at open mics. We need to talk. We need to get you an agent.
In front of people? Are you kidding?
I need to make some money.
Are you insane? Crankydog.com/spew.
Oh, yeah. The site's up. It looks terrific. www.crankydog.com. We'll be back on the other side with more great stuff. You're listening to Airplay on AM 1080 KSCO. My name is Robin Goldstein. Please stick around.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Salinas, San Juan, Bautista, and Lockwood.
Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, be free. Cause there's a million things to be, you know that there are. And if you want to live high, live high. And if you want to live low, live low. Cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are. You can do what you want. The opportunity's on. And if you find a new way, you can do it today. You can make it all true. And you can make it undo. You see. Ah, it's easy. Ah, you only need to know. Well, if you want to say yes, say yes. And if you want to say no, say no. Cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are. And if you want to be me, be me. And if you want to be you. Cause there's a million things to do, you know that there are. You want the opportunities on, and if you find a new way, you can do it today. You can make it all true, and you can make it undo. You see, ah, it's easy. Ah, you only. Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, be free. Cause there's a million things to be. You know that there are, you know that there are, you know that there are, you know that there are. You know that there are.
From the top of the Empire State Building.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast. Oh, and it's mono.
This is
Schnauzer's Logic.
Welcome back. This is Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, straightway Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And our very special, you've heard the best of us now, listen to the rest of us episode. And the next interview is kind of interesting. So I think people have heard that along the way I've mentioned that I had an opportunity when I was at KSCO to interview a lot of, I guess, B-list celebrities is probably a good way of putting it. Well, clearly interviewed Ben Stein, Richard Simmons, Gary Coleman, Chubby Checker, Sugar Ray Leonard, Jan and Dean, Dr. John Gray, who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, a bunch of other authors and musicians and things of that nature, the great and the near great. Most of these people were folks who wanted to sell something. They had a book or they were on some kind of tour. Very few of them actually came into the studio. KSCO is in Santa Cruz, California, which is a beautiful part of the country, but it's not really near anything. I mean, technically it's near San Francisco, but you have to really want to come over to Santa Cruz in order to be able to... Not the kind of thing. It's not like if you're in San Francisco, you kind of hop over to San Jose, or if you're in San Jose, you can hop up to San Francisco. You're making a commitment to go over to Santa Cruz. And so frequently we do these interviews on the phone, which is very, very easy. And it means that you can get a lot of people who are, you know, A-listers, B-listers, that kind of thing, because they want to sell something. And they're happy to come on with you. And as long as you're treating them with a modicum of respect and intelligence and a certain amount of humor, people are happy to talk to you. I never had any trouble. The only person I ever had any trouble with at all was this guy.
That's the only person who ever hung up on me in the entire time that I've been doing radio in its various forms along the way. So, and in fact, I got another email this week from Charles Lacordaire, my sort of hero and idol from WBCN, who I had sent him something, and he mentioned again that how much fun that he had on the show and how what a good time he had when he was doing our program, which of course is always the key. One of the things that we started back, as I mentioned in the previous segment, is you have to find ways of filling time, and I had started doing the radio program just after stopping what was a budding stand-up comedy career. I had done stand-up for about a year. I tried to do it by myself, realized, like radio, I had some raw skills, but I didn't actually understand completely what the technique was. I didn't understand the craft of stand-up. I had a sense of the art, but not of the craft. And so I started taking some classes that were offered by a fellow up in San Francisco at the San Francisco Comedy College. And along the way, I met a lot of people. I met Parviz, for example. I met John DeCoven. These were folks who were taking classes with me, learning how to become stand-up comedians, how to write material, how to hone their material, how to work with crowds that were heckling you. And you huddle together like puppies for warmth, because getting on stage when you've got 5 minutes of material and maybe a minute of it is really solid, and the other 4 minutes of it, you're just going to kind of wing it. You got to have a lot of balls. Even if you're transgender, you got to have a lot of balls. And so I surrounded myself with people that seemed to be fearless. Whether they were or not wasn't important to me. They seemed to be fearless, and they gave me confidence and encouragement, and they were just keep people to hang around with. And so one of them was Parviz, and the other one was John DeCoven, among a bunch of other folks. Now, John DeCoven sounds a little bit like Ben Stein, and people used to say to him all the time, "You sound like Ben Stein." And so since I had just done Win Ben Stein's Money, I said to John, "You know what would be funny? Let's do a weekly quiz segment on the Airplay radio program where we play Win John DeCoven's Money, and we'll play for whatever you have in your pocket, and you know, we'll station will reimburse you. So, you know, for God's sakes, don't come in with a roll of, you know, $100 bills. I mean, you know, $3.47 is a good amount of money to come in with." And so we would do a weekly segment of Win John DeCoven's Money. One of the things that became clear very quickly to me is that while he sounds a lot like Ben Stein, John doesn't actually have all of the same you know what? I was introducing Dirk Benedict, and somehow I'm now introducing the John DeCoven segment. How the fuck did that happen? All right, well, I'm just going to go with it. I know I started talking about getting guests, but I'm so far down the line here, I think we'll just play the John DeCoven segment at this point. Anyhow, wow. Okay, now you know why we're taking a break this week. So anyhow, what I started to say was, well, one of the many things that I started to say, and by the way, my sister is concerned that my nephew may have ADD, and I just keep telling her, there's nothing to worry about. He has ADD. Anyhow, John DeCoven would, on a weekly basis, play Win John DeCoven's Money, and we had a very difficult time in finding people who wanted to play against John. I think people weren't willing to pick up a phone and dial into the station for $3.57. So on this particular occasion, we decided to play with John and his mom. The other thing that I realized along the way was that although John sounds a lot like Ben Stein, John doesn't actually have the massive knowledge of trivia that Ben Stein has. So John tended to lose a lot when we were playing Win John DeCoven's Money. And so along the way, we started realizing that it wasn't so much about, you know, the quiz as it was about making fun of John and having fun at John's expense. And John, being the consummate professional, you know, always took it as a very, very good sport. And it's interesting to me now, because as I say, we did this 5 years ago, and John was doing open mics at Tunes in San Jose, which was kind of a bar nightclub thing. I don't even think they do comedy there anymore, but we sort of tried to get them to book the room to do comedy in front of what turned out to be a pretty hostile audience. And a lot of folks who started it moved by the wayside. I know Parviz doesn't do stand-up any longer. I sort of returned to my roots in radio. Some other people who were friends of ours are not doing it. But John was committed. He made a go of it. He now books comedy clubs in the North Bay and up in Pleasanton. He's kind of become a real comedy impresario. And So good for you, John. Good on you, as they say. All right, so what we'll do is we'll take another break here. We'll play, it's not Dirk Benedict. I wet your whistle. I wet your appetite for Dirk Benedict, but it's not Dirk Benedict. It's John DeCoven playing around to win John DeCoven's money with John DeCoven's mom. Little special treat. John DeCoven's mom had a potty mouth, but she also has a very heavy accent. And KSCO is a station that did not invest in a 7-second delay or even a 3-second delay or any delay whatsoever. So whatever came in on the phone lines went out over the 10,000-watt transmitter planted in the lagoon outside the station along the Pacific Ocean, which meant it was potentially heard by hundreds of thousands of people. And John DeCoven's mom curses a few times in this particular episode of Win John DeCoven's Money, but her accent was so thick that I decided rather than try to pot her down or do anything, turn down the volume control or anything, I just ignored it, figuring that nobody would be able to understand it and they would just pass. And to this day, no one's ever called me on it, so I figure the statute of limitations is probably run out by now. Anyhow, that's what we're going to do. We're going to play Win John DeCoven's Money with John and his mom. And then we'll come back, talk a little bit more, and then we'll play the interview with Dirk Benedict. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. This is the podcast, you've heard the best of us now, hear the rest of us episode. And it's Wednesday, it's the 25th of October, 2006. Next time we talk to you, it's going to be November the 1st. It'll be right after Halloween. So I don't know what Parviz was talking about when he wanted to have a special Halloween episode, because it'll be November by then. I don't know. You got to talk to Parviz yourself. He's too strange for me. All right, we'll take a break. Little Win John DeCoven's Money with John and his mom back from our old KFCO days, and then we'll see you on the other side. Stick around.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Fort Ord, Moss Landing, and Yanata.
It's Airplay with Robin Goldstein on KSCO AM 1080.
Welcome back. 921 AM 1080 KSCO. It is Airplay with Robin Goldstein, 479-1080, 477-1340. For a Monday, it's the 30th of July. I know I just gave you the numbers, but we don't need to have any callers today because this music means it's time to play Win John DeCoven's Money. And this morning we're going to be playing with someone I think who's going to be kicking his proverbial butt. Let's punch down the... I don't even have your microphone on. Let's turn your mic on there.
Okay.
You want to give the official... hold on, let's push this button here. I got to push that button one more time. We'll get it. Just keep pushing that button. It's some kind of magic code. You just keep pushing the button and eventually what happens is it takes... It's like me and sex. If you just keep pushing it long enough, I'm waiting for a segment where I keep punching the button down and it runs for about 7.5 minutes and then we're done. No, there we go.
Son of Easter, Mom.
Oh, good morning, son. And like George Bush would say, Buenos dias, amigos. And you know, I think he speaks better Spanish than English. I hope so.
Mrs. DeCoven, this is Robin Goldstein. Welcome to Airplay Radio on AM 1080 KSCO. How are you this morning?
I tell you, my heart is in my knees. You know, I was never on the radio before, and I'm sure I'm going to become a star, and then you'll have some competition. Can I just say one quick thing?
Absolutely.
You stop me. And it's not about my fantastic, magnificent son, which we know about. It's about George W., you know, George W., you know who he is, right?
Sure, the president of the United States of America.
Yeah, he's the president, and God knows, I don't want to say... But he was in Rome not too long ago, and this is what he told the reporter, verbatim. He said, you know, I did not see the pontiff, but I will visit the Pope tomorrow. I mean, if that is not it, and
okay, let's play the game, please.
In a nutshell, this is who we have elected. So we are waiting for better and better. I mean, worse and worse. You know.
I would like to invite you to come down and be my co-host any day that you would like, Mrs. DeCoven.
You want to invite me?
Yes.
Oh my God! I don't believe it. I'm telling you, this is a dream. since I was a kid, I wanted to be a comedian, and I want to be, as a matter of fact, I wanted to have my own radio show, but I think I'm not young enough. I don't want to say too old.
It's Airplay with Mrs. DeCoven. All right.
Let's play the game now.
Are you ready to beat your son's butt?
Well, you know, I hope I will beat him because he's so goddamn cheap, you know? And I hope to make some money. And now I am sure you two are waiting for your $300 check.
Yes, that's
and
right.
What are you going to do with it?
My $300?
Yeah.
I'm going to buy groceries, I think.
Well,
okay,
you know,
I'm going to take my headphones off so we can play this game the right way.
Because when I get mine, I think I might retire to the Bahamas. I mean, I feel, you know, what a gift. What a gift. My God, it's unbelievable. What are all those people going with a $300?
Are we
going
to play the game?
Maybe not.
I could say that they could shove that where the sun never shines, but I'm too polite.
Well, it's been nice talking to you, but now it's time to play our game, okay?
Right, so, I'm ready. And
all right. Would you like to go?
God, I should win.
Would you like to go first or second?
Well, let me go first. Let's get it over with.
All right, that's fine. Here we go. First question. He was the captain of the ill-fated... Why'd you take your headphones off? You can hear me. I'm still in the studio with you.
But I can't hear the answers.
I can hear you very well.
Oh, okay, great. He was the captain of the ill-fated Exxon Valdez.
The name of the captain?
Yes, that's right.
You know, I am not too much in the military.
So that's a pass. Okay, fine. While Robert Oppenheimer is considered the father of the atomic bomb, he's considered the father of the hydrogen bomb.
Hydrogen, was it Einstein?
No, sorry. She's the daughter of another well-known actor, and she was the youngest person ever to win an Oscar.
The daughter of a famous actor?
And she was the youngest person ever to win an Oscar.
It was not Angelina Jolie, was she?
No, unfortunately not.
Oh, God, I'm losing everything!
That's okay. We got plenty of time here. These two business partners became well known for producing color prints of everyday American life in the 19th century.
I am so terrible. You know, I am not as dumb as that, but I...
No, no. These are very hard questions today. In Greek mythology, this Riddler is half man and half lion.
Oh, yeah. That one I should know. Half man and half lion. Was it the satyr or something?
No. His picture appears in the two...
Well, why don't you give me the answer?
Well, because, because John's sitting here and he'll hear the answers.
Oh.
And
oh.
I'm guessing you guys may tie. His picture appears on the $2 bill.
Who's on the $2 bill?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Will it be George Washington?
No, that's close. Walt Kelly's cartoon character who said, "We have met the enemy and he is us."
Well, I know that Jean-Paul Sartre said the enemy is the other, but I don't think that's...
I may give you credit for that anyhow. This television news program was started to cover the Iranian hostage crisis and continues today.
Which television program?
It was a news program that was started initially to cover the Iranian hostage crisis and continues today.
No clue.
All right. What city sits astride the Miami River?
Oh, those questions. I'm telling you, they are so tough, or I am so dumb.
I know.
And you know, I was educated, and I can't answer.
Next question.
All right. Let's see. Last question. The author of Jurassic Park and the Andromeda Strain, he is also responsible for what current television program? We want the name of the TV program.
You know, I watch very little television because you know what television is? They call it the medium, right? Because it is nor rare nor well done.
Okay, I'm going to make this easy.
No,
Rob.
No. We're not done with you.
Okay.
We're going to continue this on the other side of the news. Mrs. DeFloven, can you hold on?
Are you kidding? Of course.
All right.
I'm holding, and I feel like anyway.
Yeah. Okay, great. We'll put her on hold. We'll put you on hold. We're back on the other side. AM 1080 Airplay. Robin Goldstein, stick around.
Welcome back. 9:33 a.m. 1080 KSCO. It is Airplay with Robin Goldstein. It is Monday. It's the 30th of July, and we're in the middle of a very special extended edition of Win John DeCoven's Money. We've got John sitting here in the studio with us. Let me say, Son of Easter, John, welcome
Son
to Airplay.
Son of Easter, Robin.
And then on the phone, we have John DeCoven's mom, who has been playing Win John DeCoven's Money with us. Let's punch that button down and get John's mom back on the line here. Ms. DeCoven, are you still there?
I certainly am still there.
All right.
And I won nothing.
We're not done.
I'd like to talk for
John,
a while.
We need to get John on.
I hope he wins, and I hope he gives me half of what he wins.
All right.
Maybe, yeah?
Coming up in this particular segment, we'll be talking with Candace DeLong, who is the author of Special Agent, My Life on the Front Lines as a Woman in the FBI. But for those of you who are listening, we kind of ran a little long in the last segment, and John didn't get a chance to answer any of the questions. So, John, let's get going here.
Okay.
And we'll go through the questions.
These are tough.
Here we go. Question number one, he was the captain of the ill-fated Exxon Valdez.
No idea. Scott, what if I get the first name? Scott something?
If you get the first name, I'll give you credit for it, okay?
Scott something.
No, that's wrong.
Okay.
It was Joseph Hazelwood.
Okay.
While Robert Oppenheimer is considered the father of the atom bomb, he's considered the father of the hydrogen bomb.
No idea.
Edward Teller.
Okay.
Daughter of another well-known actor, she was the youngest person ever to win an Oscar.
Shirley Temple.
Tatum O'Neill. For Paper Moon.
Okay.
These two business partners became well known for producing colored prints of everyday American life during the 19th century.
Mr. Kodak.
No. Nathaniel Currier and J. Merritt Ives. Currier and Ives.
Okay.
Never heard of that,
never
okay?
Never heard of it.
In Greek mythology, this Riddler is half man and half lion.
The Sphinx?
Right! The Sphinx!
Yes!
Very
Son
nice.
Of Easter.
His picture appears on the $2 bill.
Andrew Jackson.
No, it's Thomas Jefferson.
Oh,
Walt Kelly's cartoon character who said, "We have met the enemy and he is us."
Speed Racer.
No, that was Pogo. Pogo the Lizard. This television news program was started to cover the Iranian hostage crisis and continues today.
I know. Is it a news program or a news channel?
Okay. The question says... this.
Oh, Nightline.
Very good. What city sits astride the Miami River?
Miami.
No, it's Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
And I guess we got some storms rolling in here. We got to finish this quickly here.
Okay.
We got some bad weather. And then the author of Jurassic Park and the Andromeda Strain, he's also responsible for what current television program?
America's Most Wanted.
Nope, it's Michael Crichton, and the program is ER.
Ooh, that's interesting.
So there you go. Mrs. DeCoven, you were terrific. I'm sorry that you didn't win John's money. I know he's a cheap bastard, but maybe he'll take you out to dinner this week.
Can I ask you how much did you win?
He did, unfortunately. He won, which means he gets to keep all $4.37.
Well, it's better. He did better than me, but I always knew that he was much smarter and much better looking. But he's still my son, and I'm glad he's getting richer. So today, at least he can go out to lunch at McDonald's with that, right?
There you go.
Son of Easter,
thank
Mom.
You so much. We'll have you on again. Have a terrific day.
Buenas vista and gracias mucho from George Bush.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It was fun.
It was fun.
I would like to come again.
You'll definitely come again.
Yeah, really?
Well,
absolutely.
I don't know about that. She's 62, but...
All right. We've got to say goodbye.
Oh, he said my God. Oh, I'm going to strangle him when he comes home.
That's great. We'll send some cameras for that.
Okay, bye. Cut her off.
All right. Thank you. Have a terrific day. Bye-bye. All right. Nicely done there. That's terrific. I got a former FBI agent on the line here. I'm trying to show this woman that we have a serious program, and you're fighting with your 60-year-old mom. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I know.
All right, great.
But she'll love it.
It works. I guess it's cool to be alone. would change if it were up to you. So think about your masterpiece.
Welcome back. You're listening to a very special episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. This is our You've Heard the Best of Us Now, Hear the Rest of Us episode. We're recording this on Wednesday. It's October the 25th, 2006. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal, www.schnauzerlogic.com. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com. 206-666-6540. We're also over on myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. And if you're just catching this on a stream over on Trans FM, this is a we're taking this week off, basically. We're all kind of tired, a little bit burned out. There's some emotional scarring that we're still healing from. No, that's not true. I thought last week's show was terrific, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. You know, it's kind of funny, as I've said along the way, and not too much in protest. Although I am transgender, this is not a transgender show. And I say that because there are transgender shows which effectively have as their topic issues regarding gender, sexual identity. For example, I'd imagine that there would be a fairly interesting discussion that would be had on a show like that today on the New Jersey ruling that same-sex couples can get married, et cetera, et cetera. And while there's some marginal interest to me as a social and political interest, that's not what this show is about. This is a show that happens to be hosted by three or four people, depending upon who's here in any given week, and the person who puts it all together is transgender. But that's it. However, last week, as you know, because of the ads that Apple's running, the whole I'm a Mac, I'm a PC ad, I was interested personally in the fact that they thought that a cross-dressed guy was a good way of selling Macs. And so we had a show about that, which I think probably ran longer on that segment than I would have predicted. I won't say that it ran longer than I liked, but it probably ran longer than I would have predicted. We have the things that we were prepared to do for that show, but it was an interesting discussion because I think it moved beyond gender to appropriate kinds of issues. We've got some comments over on the blog, which is at www.schnauzerlogic.com, and we appreciate getting those comments. I'm not sure that I agreed with all the folks who were there, but that's okay. Don't have to agree with you to enjoy having you as a listener. If you can take something from the show that you agree with, that's great. If you take something from the show that you don't agree with, but you're entertained anyhow, God bless you, as the kids say. So that works for me as well. But I received an email from the current executive director of the IFGE, which is the International Federation for Gender Education. You may have noticed that in passing, Nancy Nangeroni made a comment about the current leadership of the IFGE, and the current director sent me an email disputing Nancy's assertion that the IFGE is not as relevant as it once was, and wanted to come on the show and talk about that. And that's exactly the kind of thing that I was trying to avoid. Not that I don't want to have conversations with people about gender, but this is not a she said, she said kind of forum. We're trying to be entertaining here, although from Win John DeCoven's money, you might not be able to tell. But that's what we're shooting for here. We're trying to be entertaining. And so what's interesting to me, by the way, is that I wrote back to her. I thanked her very much. I said, you know, if you've listened to more than just last week's episode or even the rest of the show, you realize this is not a traditional gender show, and talking about gender education is not really an appropriate topic for what we're trying to accomplish here. But if you want to put something on the blog or website or whatever it is, I'm happy to give you a link. I'm even happy to let you post a little reply to what rebuttal to what Nancy said. I got no response, which I think unfortunately confirms my thought that a lot of people who deal with political issues unfortunately become humorless. It's not that they don't think they have a sense of humor, but these are such serious topics to them that they begin to lose their sense of humor along the way. And that's why I thought that a commercial that was trying to use humor to sell a product based on gender was an interesting approach. We did get some comments from people that said that it's funny, get over it. And to those folks, I guess I would only say I respect the fact that it might have been funny to you, but I think that's all you can ever say about humor. You know, whether or not something is hurtful is not anything that someone can judge for me. You can't tell me whether something is hurtful to me, and you can't tell me whether something is funny to me, and vice versa. I think that's where political correctness comes in the wrong way. If I tell you that something is not funny, that's political correctness gone awry. I can't tell you that something is not funny or it's not hurtful. I can just tell you how it impacts me personally. Anyhow, enough of that stuff. We'll move on to other things. All right, Dirk Benedict. One of the things I mentioned back before was that we would do a regular interview. Usually we would have one celebrity a week. Sometimes we would have two celebrities a week. But at the very least, we had one nationally known B-list, official B-list celebrity a week who would either come into the station or be on the air. They'd generally be on for a segment. If we were lucky, we'd get them to stay around for two segments. In morning talk radio, a segment is somewhere between 8 and 10 minutes. So you'd usually have them for maybe 15, 20 minutes. It's something like that, more or less. Dirk Benedict turned out to be this really interesting guy, but he was also the guest that would not leave. And you'll hear that we actually wind up going through Dirk. I think as I was going through it, this is the longest segment on today's program, and the last segment, by the way. Dirk Benedict was on for three segments. We blew through commercials with Dirk Benedict. He just stayed on the line. And at the end of the segment, we wound up having to do other things, and I had to say goodbye to him. I felt badly. I felt like I really needed to invite him back again. First of all, he was a great sport. He had lots of good Hollywood stories. He wasn't afraid to talk about anything. He understood, you know, that honesty was the best way to be entertaining. And he was a nice, funny guy. So I went to his website today, by the way, and we'll post a link to that on the blog. And he's still active, and he's doing Battlestar Galactica stuff and what have you. Now, an interesting side note is the day that we had Dirk Benedict on was also the day that Kip Adada hung up on us. And I had not put those two things together, but it's funny to me because we were on a real high. I think Sean was in the studio that day. You probably will hear him as part of the interview. Sean had come in. He was in the studio with us that day. And in fact, I know it now. It was a Friday because Friday we used to do producer surprise where the producer would get guests and not tell us who they were or why they were there. And we would have to figure it out, which could, of course, be very embarrassing not only for us but for the guests if we guessed wrong. But in this particular case, it was a producer surprise that I put together to surprise Sean, which is when we got Kirk Benedict, Kip Adada. And so we started off with this great show with Dirk Benedict. He was wonderful. And then, of course, it all went spiraling downhill. You don't hear the Kip Adada part of the interview because we've played that before on previous shows. But you will hear lots and lots and lots of the stuff that went on at KSCO. So longest segment that we have at this point, I think it's 20-something minutes or whatever it is. And we'll let you play that. Well, we won't let you play that. I actually am responsible for pushing the button to make that happen. So we'll let me play that, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up this week's program. All right, you are listening to Schnauzer Logic. This is our very special You've Heard the Best of Us, Now Hear the Rest of Us episode. We're doing this on a Wednesday, of course. It is the 25th of October, 2006. And we're asking you to stay tuned for our old KSCO Airplay interview with Dirk Benedict, Face, if you will, from the A-Team and Battlestar Galactica and many, many other fine television programs. Stick around.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
I don't know what character I would have been. You knew that you had a great television program when you had music that was written by Mike Post. Welcome back. It's 9:34 at AM 1080 KSCO. Robin Goldstein, it's Airplay. It's Friday. It's the 29th of July. No, it's June. I don't know. I'm all nervous. It's the end of the week. We do need the A-Team. We don't have the entire A-Team, but we have a very special part of the A-Team and a terrific guest and someone who I can't believe is willing to be on the air with us, although I'm guessing that after this interview, he will rethink any future return. But let's pop this... Mike Post. Mike Post is such a winner, don't you think?
Absolutely. Was there a show between 1978 and 1999 that didn't benefit from a Mike Post soundtrack? I don't think so.
Nothing that I didn't watch. And let's say Son of Easter to Dirk Benedict. Welcome to KSCO Radio. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
How are you?
By the way, I got the other two guys here, but I told them they couldn't talk, but I want them to hear me do this interview so they know how it's done.
All right, great. The other two guys, yeah.
No,
thanks so much.
You know, if you had all three of us, you guys wouldn't be able to talk because that was a very vociferous set, a very verbal. Everybody loved to yak. Jibber-jabber, Mr. T called it. So... There was a lot of talking going on. We did more messing around than we did filming, so you can imagine.
Now that
you spoke of Mike Post, by the way, that guy must have more money than God because he did. He scored everything. Eventually, it all started to sound the same, though. So I think he
actually did. Though Fortune 500 came out with the listing last year. He was listed. He was four spots above God. He was number 12.
Are you joking?
God 16.
Are
no.
You serious?
And
actually, we shouldn't use God. God isn't into money. You know, and the more spiritual you become, the less important it is. So obviously, you guys are not very enlightened because I can tell you you're full of avarice.
Well, we're on the radio.
That says it right there.
That's all you need to know.
There's a lot of money in
Well, thanks.
But, you know, you can sit there and dress the way you're dressed and look the way you look and not have to worry.
Well, it was
I'm scared anyway, Dirk. I'll be honest.
And apparently, you can see through the telephone.
How did I know?
I don't know. Thanks for joining us. Where are you calling
us
from?
Thanks for having me. I'm speaking from my little 18 built my little log cabin up here built in 1886
in Montana.
I'm in the north woods of Montana.
I'm looking here on the National Enquirer, which of course
out of the dark and into the woods. What
the news? I'm looking here at that photograph in the National Enquirer, the newspaper of record of Airplay Radio. Yeah. Here did a nice little piece on you.
I'm glad to know you guys are well read. Every morning you read the paper.
I just actually look at the pictures. I'm not able to read it. So
you know, I've always been very cozy with the National Enquirer. I mean. You know, I mean, they were always kind of kind to me anyway. And I did an interview with a reporter, an English reporter, I think it was, who sold this story to the Enquirer. But it's very nice and very true.
Yeah, well, it is pretty interesting. Now, I went to your website. You actually, here's what I think is interesting. You have more an insane number of fan websites. I mean, not that you shouldn't have a lot of fan websites.
I know. But I hear you. I'm a bit stunned by that myself.
Isn't that incredible? There's a huge Dirk Benedict fan web ring, web zine. How did this happen?
I'm not Ted Danson or Tony Danza, for God's sake.
And thank
Those guys,
God for
you
that.
Know, they're never out of work. They just go from one TV show to another.
It's amazing.
They just stumble from one set to the other.
Now, you have your own website. It's kamikazecowboy.com.
Yeah.
And that's who you are.
And I think people realize that. Well, go ahead. Yeah, that's Kamikaze Cowboy is me, yeah.
And
there's Dirk Benedict Central and Dirk Benedict Anonymous.org, and I don't know.
You making any money off the web?
Now you're getting, see, always with the money. You always come back to that. I make enough to sort of pay the expenses of running it. The one I have, Kamikaze Cowboy, I sell photos of mainly my books. I have one book that I've written called Kamikaze Cowboy, which is a wonderful book about surviving cancer through diet. So it's a way for fans to access, to get the book. That's why I love the website, because it's very tough to get your book in bookstores.
Right, although I'm sure it's available on Amazon and...
And in bookstores, and Noble, it's available, but this way I come to their house and read it to them, so that's nice. That's kind of, they like that.
So what you're telling me is you're not that busy these days.
Geez, you know, there's an idea. I should say, you know, pay my air, if I charge $2,000 a book, and then I'll come to their house and read the darn thing to them.
I bet you could find people willing to do that.
I bet you could. Well, I'm going on a cruise, you know, on January 20th.
I want to hear about that.
Yeah, and the people are paying a lot of money to come there, so I'm going to do some studying. I'm going to do seminars. I'm going to talk about you know, some of these experiences I've had with cancer and with being a single parent and raising my kids without junk food. So,
and that's pretty much what you're devoted to these days.
Well, yeah, I had children, and I realized that I was not going to be able to spend the amount of time with them that I wanted to if I continued focusing on my career, floundering through my career. So, you know, literally, I mean, I just decided, and it's difficult, it's very hard, but it's all worked out, you know. And I've had the last 7 years of my life have probably been have been the richest, being a hands-on. I'm a soccer dad, mom, everything. I do it all.
And you're healthy at this point.
At this point, I am. But after this interview, I don't know.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. I apologize.
No, I am exceedingly healthy, and it's a good thing because I just found out last night, and this is kind of a scoop, although it was announced, I think, in the trades this morning, but Battlestar Galactica is coming back.
Is that true?
Battlestar Galactica, the other show I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Of note.
Yeah, well, but although you have a tremendous resume of films and other projects,
I've done a lot of stuff. Yeah,
you've done a lot of stuff, and one of the things I wanted to ask you about was, you know, whenever people, I mean, I played the A-Team theme because it's such an easy hook. But as an actor, do you feel like you get kind of locked into just that one role, and no one will?
Yeah, it's true. It is absolutely.
I don't mean to bring you down so early in the morning, my friend.
Yeah, really. You've made my day, my week. I knew that would come to this.
Yeah, well, it's a new month tomorrow.
So how come didn't that show? Well, it did. It did. It wasn't so much being typecast as that character, which would not be bad because that kind of character is throughout all cinema and television.
Sure.
That sort of charming con man. I mean, it's a little bit of James Bond. It's a little bit of, you know, tongue-in-cheek James Garner. It's that kind of thing. But the problem was the A-Team, when it was on the air, was perceived by the industry, the people that do the hiring, as a gimmick joke, superficial, idiotic show. So it was not respected. So they didn't look at it as a show that was a success because of the actors. It was all, oh, well, they blew up a bunch of cars and had some fist fights, and so the unwashed of America watched it. But that was the exact opposite. They never understood how difficult that show was to do, and that the kind of comedy we did was very, very difficult and was only possible because they had three really skilled actors, George Peppard, myself, and Dwight, and then Mr. T, who is the smartest of all four of us, and did a certain thing and did it really well.
And it really was prototypical for the shows that came afterwards. Can you hang around? I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about this, and also want to hear about the cruise that you guys are going to be doing.
Yeah, I can hang on.
All right,
I've been waiting all morning for you guys to call. But it's worth it for this hour that we're going to chat.
I thought it was 2 hours, Jody. You told me you had 2 hours with Dirk.
Yeah, I had to cut it short, otherwise people would think I was lonely and desperate.
No, then they'd be thinking you're talking about me. We're talking with Dirk Benedict. We'll be back on the other side. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO, Robin Goldstein Airplay. Stick around.
It's Airplay with Robin Goldstein on KSCO, AM 1080. It's Airplay with Robin Goldstein on KSCO, AM 1080.
Welcome back. It's 9:45. We're in hour number 47 of our marathon interview with Dirk Benedict. Lindsay Sonavista, and welcome back.
And it's still riveting. And we haven't even scraped the surface. I'm sitting here thinking, I wrote and directed a film called Kahoot.
I wanted to ask you about that next.
Starring Keith Carradine, David Keith, Wendy Malick,
yeah.
Me, and it's doing quite well at the festivals, and may eventually be sold and be in the theaters. But so there's that whole element. I did that, finished it last fall.
What was it like working with Keith Carradine?
Oh, he's a joy, a prince, a pro, and extremely talented. He wrote, he won an Academy Award for the song he wrote for Nashville.
That's right.
And he's written a song for this film, which is really groovy, and it's in it.
Is it more fun to direct than it is to be in front of the camera?
More fulfilling, yes.
Really?
And I've always had, obviously, as I reflect here, talking to you guys, and I don't reflect often, but you somehow triggered that. Looking back, but I've done
You're
a lot of
kind.
Different things, and it's, I think I've always had a wide variety of interests. I enjoy writing and the directing, and I've also always had an eye on that and been very studied all the bits and pieces of making a film. And then doing the A-Team was a great film school because we had all the elements of a feature film. We had stunts and special effects, and we had to get dialogue under extremely difficult situations. So I learned a lot, and I like it because it was completely challenging, working with camera and with the crew, with the actors, and with all the different elements.
And you see,
the only thing more difficult than directing is being a parent.
And you've got two sons?
I have two boys.
You have two boys, and are you really Mr. Mom these days? I mean, do you do the minivan kind of thing? Do you have the SUV running around and picking them up from karate practice and stuff? Yeah.
Oh man, piano lessons, soccer practice. I mean, it's unbelievable.
My kid
was in the all-star soccer team up here, so, we have to travel. We had games every weekend in Montana, and towns, are like, you need a Viper to get to them within a reasonable amount of time.
Now,
I was driving 500-800 miles a week.
I was talking to my sister last night, who lives in New York, and I said, she listens to the show on the web at www.kseo.com, and I was telling her who we had on the show today, and I said, we have Dirk Benedict, and she goes, I said, do you remember him? And she goes, oh my God, he was the cute one.
I still am cute.
Oh, I'm sure that's true, but I mean, do you?
He said modestly.
No. But my sister said, "Oh my God, he was the good looking one on the A team, wasn't he?" And I said, "Yeah, I think he was. Not that I'm gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that." But
I'm not questioning your manhood.
Thank you very much.
Why are you so defensive? Why would you mention that?
You're the only one
now
who's
I'm
not.
Wondering.
Now you're the only one who's not defending. Well, it's a whole long story, and that'll take another 47
right.
hours. When you have a radio program, you can interview me for 47 hours. So the question that I mean, how do the soccer moms treat you? I mean, is this kind of rolling stardom that follows you? Because, you're still the good-looking one.
Well, it's interesting. All my friends, it's so funny. I go to parties now, and I end up in the room with all the women talking about laundry. I mean, it's because it's so much a part of my life, and all the day-to-day stuff of raising children. It is a profession, and I get along very well with all the other soccer moms, and there's a couple single ones who have sort of, but that's not something that I'm, available for at this moment. And also, I have such a broad spectrum of interests. Part of my life is still in show business. Part is just a Montana soccer mom, and part is, a writer, and so... And so it would be hard to find a woman who could deal with all of that. Are the phones ringing?
Well, you said that so definitively that I was looking across the table at producer Jody Lee, but since you feel that way, yeah.
She's too young? A woman would have to be at least 39 or 40.
Oh, wow.
It takes that long for them to figure it out.
I like this. This is a wise man. This is a wise man.
Amen to that.
So yeah, what's the deal with?
But it didn't come easy.
What's the deal with Tom Cruise here? No, that's not right. It's a Cruise. It's not Tom Cruise. What's the deal with Tom Cruise here?
Oh man.
What's the deal with this Cruise?
You know, I've had some really deeply loyal fans over the years. I mean, it's my Cruise director. I think you're going to talk to her later, and she can give you all the skinny on it, but I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a cruise and put myself on a boat, and anybody that wants to come, I'm going to sort of like, I'm going to mix and mingle and have cocktails and do some seminars and talk about things for people. And so I have fans coming from the Netherlands and Germany and England and Australia and Italy and.
And where were your first movie was overseas, wasn't
and
it?
And a couple of them coming from Butte, Montana. So
there you go.
That's the one.
That's overseas from California.
Yeah, exactly. That's an island unto itself.
I mean, you're tremendous. You're a licensed pilot, and your Far Eastern religion is you're an Uberman. You're a god among men. You just I'd like to talk to you about the macrobiotic stuff. Can you?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a Renaissance guy. Which, you know, we live in an age where everybody specializes. Everybody's an expert on something, and I'm kind of a jack of all trades. And it's kind of hard living your life that way because the pressures are so enormous. And I raised my two boys and encourage them to exploit all their talents and to not worry about not knowing when you're 12 what you're going to do for the rest of your life, let alone 20 or 22. So, and that's the way I've lived my life. And it is kind of like flying without a net, and you keep sort of switching up. People say, well, what are you? I mean, I've had people say to me, so you don't act anymore. You quit that. And when I started writing, they say, oh, now you're a writer. Then when I directed, people say, oh, so now you're going to direct. And I don't know when it happened when somebody can't do all of these things. And now that I'm doing this parenting thing, I have to tell you, I'm going to write a book about it because it's been such an enlightening experience. Yeah.
Can you hang on for just another break?
Yeah, sure. I'll stay as long as you want.
We're not boring you to death yet,
no,
are we?
No.
All right,
no.
Great. We're talking with Dirk Benedict. We'll take another little break here. I want to talk to him about the experience he had with macrobiotic diet. I happen to be a vegetarian myself.
Oh, well, bravo.
We can talk about that experience.
Yeah, we can share tofu stories.
Yes,
and or recipes.
I think tofu should be a
sexy food, but
tofu is like a martial art for Buddhists. I engage in tofu. Okay.
Tofu like a tofu.
We're talking with Dirk Benedict. We'll be back on the other side. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO. Robin Goldstein, you want to stick around here? Let's see. Now I got to do something else. This is all brand new for me. Let's. Oh, there we go. All right. This is a live commercial read. I haven't done this before. This is all brand new. You guys are going to have to hold with me, okay? All right. So if you listen to KSCO Radio, and I know that you do on a regular basis, then you hear that there is commercials constantly for, I don't know, there's some kind of unicorn formula or the Jackalope health pack or something like that. I'm, like you, very skeptical. So I went to Michael Zwirling and I said, listen, what's the deal with this whole thing, this American Longevity products? And so he has now loaded me up with American Longevity products. My friends, I have American Longevity products coming out of every pore of my body. Well, at least not yet I don't. And what I said was, you know, here's the deal. I don't know what this stuff is all about. I understand it has like 90 essential nutrients. And I've been taking vitamins, quite frankly, as I just mentioned to Dirk. I've been a vegetarian for many years. Take vitamins all the time. And so I understand the value of having a nutritional supplement in my diet. And that's really what this stuff is. American Longevity are 90 essential nutrients, apparently. At least that's what it says on the paper here, that that can help you to make sure that you have everything that you need to get through the day. So I'm going to start taking this stuff. And what I'm going to do is I'm inviting you to start taking it with me. Find out about it. We'll see whether this works together. We'll go through the experience. It will be a kind of a whole gestalt. Here's a phone number you want to call. It's area code 831-427-1055. That's area code 831-427-1055. 1055. It's the American Longevity Products. As I say, there's the person on the other end of the phone understands a whole lot more than I do at this point. I'm not savvy. I've got the stuff and the liquids and the powders and the pills and the things and the that, and there's wild animals running all over the place. We're going to take it together. We're going to take the majestic earth. We're going to understand whether or not this works. We're going to go through this experience together. We're going to get healthier. We're going to live longer. We're going to have nutrition in our diets and in our bodies. At least that's what it says in the piece of paper. And if they wrote it on paper, it's got to be true. So 831-427-1055. I'm going to start taking this stuff. Not during this break, of course, because I didn't finish my coffee and donut yet. But maybe in the next break, I'll start taking it. Stick around.
You're listening to KSCO, serving SoCal, Soledad, and Lucia.
It's Airplay with Robin Goldstein on KSCO AM 1080.
All right, I apologize. All right, let's see. Let's get... Dirk, wake up, Dirk. Wake up.
So many buttons.
There are so many buttons.
So little time.
So many buttons, so little time. Welcome back. It's 9:56 a.m. 1080 KSCO. Robin Goldstein, Airplay, Dirk Benedict. So you're a macrobiotic vegetarian at this point? Is that a fair...
I don't call myself a vegetarian because... Well, the macrobiotic philosophy is that one eats according to one's needs, you know. So it's not really, you know, it's not an exclusive mentality. It includes everything. So in other words, the Eskimos, the native, the Inuits, you know, were macrobiotic, even though they ate seal blubber, you know, and shared their wives with strangers.
Not that you're recommending either of
those. Which I insisted upon doing just to honor that culture, and that may be why I'm now single.
God bless you, my friend. God bless you.
I had a lot of friends.
And
we come stay.
It's an extra seal blubber.
I thought they loved. Yeah.
Do you have a?
So in other words, you eat what's indigenous. You know, and that's a very cold climate. It's 40, 50 degrees below zero, and so to be a vegetarian up there wouldn't have, you know, your blood would have been too thin. So that's, you know, it's in a simple way of saying making the difference between vegetarianism and what the macrobiotic philosophy is. The macrobiotic is a word that was just simply given to sort of. Well, it came out of the Orient, you know. It's Ayurvedic medicine. It started in India, and then it was brought to China, and then the Japanese adapted it. But it's basically, you know, common sense, eating according to natural law. So
and whole foods.
Yeah. Now, I haven't eaten animal food since 1970, so... And I had cancer, and I had arthritis, and I had a lot of problems. I wrote this book, Kamikaze Cowboy, which goes through the whole step-by-step journey, you know, making the change. Because it's not easy if you grew up on, as most of us in this country have, on a diet that's heavy in animal salts and fats and making your body change to a diet. My diet is based on whole grains. I basically, you know, and I raised my children this way, by the way, which makes them... very unique in this country, you know. They've never had junk food. They've never had a Pepsi or a Coke or a hamburger or ice cream.
No carbonated beverages of any kind.
Well, they have some of those fruit carbonated beverages. All right. But
you have a cookbook of this stuff?
I don't have one. There's a wonderful cookbook by Christina Perrello called Christina Cooks. She has a cooking show actually on PBS, and she's written a couple of fabulous cookbooks.
I would love to talk to you for another 47 hours. Jody said that you were just a fascinating, engaging guy, and you absolutely are. Thank you so much.
That's it. So hey, the 800 number on my cruise. There may be somebody I know you. There may be somebody in your area that wants to go on this cruise.
Let's give it out.
800. They got their pencils.
I got here.
Well, you know all six people that listen to you. I mean, do you know, will they? 800-607-9246.
800-607-9246. The Kamikaze Cowboys maiden voyage of the Caribbean.
That's it. Or they can go on kamikazecowboy.com, and the information is there.
All right, and that's from Swain Tours.
Yeah, and we're coming back on to TV, it looks like, on the Battlestar, so that's good.
Are you going to be back on?
People can see what I look like.
As Starbuck? Are you going to be back on as Starbuck?
I told him I would do it, but the guy still had to smoke cigars and womanize, and he cannot be married, and he's got to have bastard children all over the galaxy.
They said,
hey, that's exactly what we're thinking, so.
We got the AP Network News. Dirk, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
You guys are great. You
Thank
really
you,
are.
Sir. Take care.
You're great hosts.
We'll be back on the other side. You're listening
All
to
right,
you.
Robin.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
It's AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
Be we go.
Welcome back. You are listening to a very special episode of Schnauzer Logic. This is our You've Heard the Best of Us, Now Hear the Rest of Us episode, being recorded on Wednesday, the 25th of October, 2006. Robin Goldstein, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, sitting here alone in Schnauzer Studios, putting this all together for you guys. Wasn't going to do a show this week at all. We were just going to let last week's show hang out there in the ether, but I've gotten a lot of emails from people along the way that indicate to me, by typing, which is what I mean, what they say to me is that they listen to the show every week, not so much like a podcast, like one of these 15-minute shows that they may download, but when they're in their cars, when they're exercising, it's kind of 2 hours of original programming that they listen to on a weekly basis. And so I thought, well, let's give them some more programming. So we have more of this programming. And by the way, if you're interested in this kind of programming in the future, if you like what you heard, drop me a line. It's robin@schnauzerlogic.com. That's the email address, robin@schnauzerlogic, schnauzerlogic.com. And let me know. One possibility is to put all of the old AirPlay shows on their own little stream. Maybe let them run or put them on a separate podcast feed. I've got space on the server. I can put all the old shows up there. They're all pre-edited anyhow. Actually, I think they say AirPlay and they point to the wrong website, but you guys would understand that. Not a big deal. So let me know if that's something that you think would be of interest to you. It's a little bit of work and a little bit of money, but we can put that together if you think it would be fun. And otherwise, we'll continue to sort of pull things from there on a random basis. And there you go. That's today's program. Yeah. A little bit of mission to Moscow here. Anyhow, I really appreciate the fact that you guys listen on a weekly basis. Mentioned before that we have somewhere around 1,000 listeners, more or less. Now that colleges are back in session, we see the numbers starting to rise again, which is terrific. Love to have more listeners. Tell your friends. And it's funny to me as well. You know, I had sort of a small pang today, a little sadness as I was going through the audio that that I pulled together for today's program, because I realize how much I love radio. I love performing behind a microphone, and if you've been to the blog at schnauzerlogic.com, you can see there's a photograph of me in high school behind the mic in 1975 with Lenny Koch doing the morning show. And then all you have to do is look at the photograph of me behind the microphone now or up in the blog header, and you realize very little has changed over that amount of time. It's 31 years later, and I'm still loving what I'm doing. So I think there are some things that are just in your bones. And I realized how much I loved doing that show on KSCO. I think I was a little young 5 years ago. Big difference. A little inexperienced. A little raw. I think I could have used a professional, someone to kind of season me, bring me along, would have been very, very helpful. But I listen to those programs now, and I realize I was doing something that I loved every day of the week. And I was getting paid for it. Not enough, unfortunately, to be able to get rid of my other job, which is one of the reasons I had to give up the show anyhow. But I was doing something that I loved, and I was getting paid for it. And I think that's how you know that your life is blessed. I mean, even if that happens just once in your life, if you can do something that you love and you get paid for it, I mean, that's how I know that there's some meaning to the universe, and this isn't all just kind of random crap stuck together with super glue. Anyhow, that's it. Hope that you guys enjoyed today's program. I had a thrill putting it all together for you. Next week, brand new show. I think Sean will be here. I think Parviz will be here. I think Sherry may be here. I think maybe Critical Chip, Cranky Dog will be here. Try to do John DeCoven. I just keep buying more mics. And as the winter gets colder here in Northern California, we just keep moving more and more chairs into the studio, and people start sharing mics. And as long as you air the room out for the rest of the week, it works out just fine. All right, there you go. Anyhow, thank you all so very much for listening to the program. Until next week, I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up, pay attention, tell the truth. Don't be attached to the outcome. That comes from Angelus Arian, who is a cultural anthropologist. The book is The Fourfold Way. She's written many other books. You can Google her. I understand she likes that. and find out more about that particular philosophy. And there you go. Next week, more fun stuff, including Jason's friend Allie, who is a writer on David Spade's showbiz show. So we're going to get the dirt. And maybe we'll get Jan Karam and David Spade to kind of come together and reconcile. That would be cool, wouldn't it? That'd be a cool showbiz thing to do. All right. Have yourself a great week. Take care of yourself. Be good. I think I'm taking the Cardinals. I know they were rained out tonight, and that kind of throws everybody's game off a little bit, but I think at my heart I'm a National League kid. So the Cardinals in 6. There you go. That's my prediction. All right. Have a great week. Take care. I love all you guys. I really do. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Jenny. It's over.
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.